again, we apologize for these difficulties, but for some reason, we imagine that. Let's see, I gave you that information. Here again, David's book, My Awakening, is being printed out in various languages, including Russian, over there in Europe. David has been in Europe now for nearly a year, and that's one reason we wanted to bring him on the air live from over there, so he could tell us about what he's been up to. According to Vincent and other articles I've read, David is a huge success over there, speaking at many different areas, I guess on university campuses and other kind of, and it's amazing that our media over here hasn't told us a thing about that. And he's also working on some other books, and he has a new book that's about ready to come out. So that was another reason we wanted to bring David on here and talk about his new book. And I am very, very disappointed. Our phones don't seem to be working for us here. But Jim is working diligently, I'm sure, if David there, so he can make the connection. And the world's have a good connection. So we'll plead the blood of our Messiah on this and ask him to see to it that our enemies are vanquished, as they are indeed the reason for this problem, and that we are allowed to talk to our brother over there in Russia and have a good conversation. If you like the music that plays at the top and bottom of the hour, that's produced by Jonathan David Brown. He has an excellent CD called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, some very, very uplifting music. Okay. Any update, Jim, or are you coming?
We're working on it. Okay. See if you can hear them now.
Okay, sir.
Okay.
I can hear you, David.
I can hear you. You're a little low, but I can hear you, yes.
Okay. Well, very good, and welcome to the...
Yes.
I know it.
It certainly is. It's 3:15.
Well, David, I know you've been out for quite some time, so if you don't mind, how about if I just turn the mic over to you for a little bit to give us a synopsis of what you've been up to for almost a year?
Well, I've been very busy. I've been doing a lot of traveling and a lot of work and research and organizing. My book has gone into printing in Russia. It's also gone into Romanian translation. It's in print now in Romania. My awakening from an average American to one who began to understand that race has a profound impact on society, and that there is a certain supremacist element that dominates the world and dominates politics of both the United States and around the world, and that this element is determined to annihilate, actually, and destroy the people of European heritage in the world, and that we must unite and organize to defend our rights and our heritage. And the book's also going into Polish. I've also been doing research on a new book called For Love of My People. I've been helping to train and organize many patriots over in this part of the world, Eastern Europe and also Central Europe, in effective political organization. They're kind of new at it, especially in the Eastern European countries. And so I've been very, very busy. I just expect a meeting in a couple days with a very fine gentleman, a researcher by the name of Jürgen Graf, who has been one of the chief people in the world who's documented and intellectually challenged some of the myths of the so-called Holocaust. And he's got an excellent book he just completed called The Giant with Feet of Clay, which is about the Hilbert Holocaust historian. And I met with some leaders from South Africa today. So I've been very, very busy over the past few months. I've been back and forth. I've been in the United States. I've been in Europe. I've been in Italy, Austria, many, many countries. And it's been a very...
It's sorry to say that we don't hear much in the regular media over here about what you're doing. It wasn't for your Duke report and things like that. I guess we'd never hear about it. When do you expect the new book to be out, available for sale?
Well, the first one that's coming out in English is already in Russian, actually, and Romanian is simply called Jewish Supremacism. And I expect this to be here, should be ready for printing. It certainly has a lot of updating. I've got a lot of updating to do for my first book, My Awakening. It's really based on that middle section of my book called Jewish Questions, but it goes into a lot more detail, and there's some additional information there and some updated information. And it's a little bit different approach than it's in my book. It's a book purely on that subject. And it just shows that the Jewish leadership has been really an enemy of all other nationalities in the world. And that this has been going on for many, many thousands of years, actually. And right now in the world, Jewish racism that continues to grow and, in fact, become more extreme with time. When the UN Zionists have a mile away to put it, the truth is that Judaism is racism. Judaism as a religion is basically a racial religion. It's not even very dedicated to God. In fact, there's many places in the Jewish Talmud where rabbis even question God. But the religion is really a racial dogma, a philosophy. And it's not simply racism, it's truly a racial supremacism. You know, I kind of bristle when people refer to me as a supremacist, because I am not a supremacist. I'm not trying to rule over other people or hurt other people or discriminate against other people. I am not a supremacist, but I am a racial realist and an idealist. The interesting thing is the Jewish media, which is always accusing racial separatists and racial idealists and racial realists of being so-called racists or supremacists, are themselves the most extreme racial supremacists the world's ever seen. I'll give one small example. I had an article on the Jewish leadership is not that they are not allowed to marry a Gentile or convert a Gentile to Judaism. In fact, if they marry a convert, even if the convert took place 10,000 generations earlier, they're not allowed to marry anyone who is a descendant of a convert. It's one purely, and often those officials of Germany, the SS, which was their elite of the German National Socialist Party, and which is called the very racist there, the European purity. However, six generations is not enough for the Jews. They want 10,000 generations. So there's an interesting situation where in Israel today you have this tremendous conflict going on between the Jews and the Arab people, the Palestinian people, and they are, in fact, have created an apartheid state. And yet these same people who have strict segregation for Jews and Arabs, who don't really recognize intermarriage between Jews and Arabs, are, in fact, busy around the world trying to destroy any sort of white solidarity or any sort of solidarity among other races in the world. So that's a pretty amazing situation.
Absolutely. I had a quick question while you were talking. What do the Russian people think about the white slavery of predominantly Western European women in Russia that's been going on since 1948? What do they think about that, or don't they know about it?
Well, few do know about that particular aspect of the Jewish problem. I wrote about it, of course, in My Awakening. It had some very good articles in the United States, but again, they've been kind of buried. There's not been a few people in the United States even aware of this. But somewhere between 100,000 and maybe 300,000 or 400,000 Eastern European women are basically sold into the most degrading and awful form of slavery that one could imagine. These women are kidnapped. They are grabbed by the so-called Russian and Eastern European mafia. But it's not Russian mafia. And that's one more example of how the media lies about things. You know, when they talk about the mafia in the United States, specifically when they talk about the Sicilian mafia, they're talking about Sicilians. However, the mafia in the United States has had tremendous numbers of organized crime people who were, in fact, not Sicilians, not Italians, who were, in fact, Jewish. In fact, there's a good argument to say that the biggest gangsters in America since the time of Al Capone, after Al Capone, even during the time of Al Capone, there were many Jewish gangsters, have been Jewish gangsters. For instance, Meyer Lansky was the biggest gangster in the United States, and he was a Jew, not Sicilian, not an Italian. But the media is very carefully, in fact, associated with the so-called Russian mafia, and it's just not true. About 95%, I would say 90% of the so-called Russian mafia is not Russian, but in fact Jewish. And we can name the specific individuals involved in it who are Jews. Like Mogilevich is probably the biggest gangster in the world, which there's a very good article about it in the Village Voice in New York, and there's been tremendous amount of evidence about his involvement in organized crime throughout the world, billions and billions of dollars, and thousands of murders, and literally hundreds of thousands of women who've been enslaved by the mafia, other these kind of mafia-type people. So there's a lot of information out there, obviously, that the American public's not receiving.
Yes, I would say so. I want to remind the folks that if they do have a question, they can call in at 812-476-3026. I had a question for you, David.
We have a caller, Richard, from Idaho International Conspiratorial Association.
We have Richard from Idaho. Welcome to the program, Richard.
Thank you very much.
How you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Oh, pretty good. Pastor Dan's had me on the program several times, and I want him to know that I appreciate that. And I have several quick questions for you. Vladimir Putin, is he a friend or is he a foe?
Well, I think the verdict's still out on that. I would tend to be very skeptical that Putin, for instance, came out in the Moscow Times about 6 months ago, that he was coming up with the ranks, he used to spend his summers in Berezovsky's summer house in Spain. So, I mean, of course, he's got a falling out with Berezovsky. He seems to be around how that works out.
Very good.
So I can't answer your question to your satisfaction or to my own. I'm really not sure, but from what we've seen so far, I don't think necessarily he's a friend. He may be more of a friend than George Bush, though. We don't know.
Well, that was going into my next question. Has the Bush Politburo gang of stooges put any heat on you, or are they doing anything against you for being over there and saying what you're saying?
Well, it's interesting. They haven't done anything at this point over here against me. They, of course, in America, and so on and so forth. But, in fact, my book is called here. It's called The Jewish Question. It's on American Perspective.
Uh-huh.
Which is kind of interesting for the Russian people. And the book is actually doing quite well. It's already sold probably around 250,000 copies. Unfortunately, this is Russia. I don't get any money from those books, but the publishers... in fact, there's no way to even tell how many they're printing, but they're being sold all over Russia, and it's quite amazing how this book is being promoted. It's a hardback book, basically rubles, which is the equivalent of about $2, and it's about 300-page book, and the book is just being read and digested. People read it and they agree with it, and that means the Bolshevik Revolution and the Jewish impact on Russia. And interestingly enough, the book has even been sold within the confines of the Russian Parliament, the Russian Duma. So that's pretty amazing. And there have been members of the Duma who stood up and talked about the book and defended the book. And some of the Jewish elements here tried to get a law passed in Russia, as they have in Europe, against freedom of speech. And they tried to use my book to try to push that law. They failed, thank goodness. But he's here, and the Jewish World Congress is very, very upset about this book and very much upset about the fact that Russian people are behind and discussing it with a great enthusiasm.
Well, I've been doing some research on the Jewish World Congress, and it's my personal belief that they are much, much more deeper into the international control than the general public would believe. And Americans over here are wondering, how can you possibly survive in the belly of the beast of Judeo-Marxism in the middle of the Soviet Union? How are you surviving? Why haven't they just thrown you out of that country?
Well, it's too good. The Marxists are out of power now in Russia, and Marxism underwent quite a dramatic transformation over the last few years. Major Mikhail officer in Russia during the Russian Revolution, wrote back, and it's in the National Archives in the United States, again, talks about my book, and he mentioned the fact that the first governor of Russia crazy, amazing fact, 13 ethnic Russians, but that's changed. And the truth is that the people here are much more sympathetic with issues of the Jewish question and even the race issue than the average person is in the United States. They're much less brainwashed. Than
how about Europe? Are they more sympathetic than the Europeans?
Well, I don't know. Europeans tend to be more liberal,
right,
on average. But there's a much larger component who shares our political and racial understanding that people like myself and yourself have. So I think Europe has got much larger patriotic, for instance, that recognize some of the Jewish issues than you have in terms of activities in the United States.
Have you personally experienced any what we would call dangerous situations over there?
Well, I tell you, the only dangers I might face is sometimes when people recognize me in the street after they read my book, they just about hug me to death.
Well, wonderful. That's great.
I had a very large meeting they sponsored for me here, and the whole factory was still wall to wall, and I couldn't hardly get my speech. We had a translator, of course, for the speech, because I can't speak that well to give a speech in Russian yet, but I can speak in some parts of it Russian. But the translator, they couldn't hardly translate, because every few paragraphs is gone, and there's a lot of enthusiasm for my work over here and for what our issues are here.
Well, if you need a sidekick, give me a call. I would love to be involved in that kind of stuff. Last night on CBS World News, the Zionist main station, they surprisingly had a report about the enormous amount of immigration of Pakistanis and Iraqis coming through Europe and then crossing the border and swimming the channel or whatever and going to Britain. Is that a big deal over there?
Well, Britain definitely is becoming rapidly a third world country, but France is undergoing the same kind of transformation.
Right.
And you go into major capitals and major cities in Italy or Germany or Austria or all these countries. The increase in refugees that are non-white and non-Europeans is absolutely amazing. They're certainly not the percentages that you have, for instance, the blacks and Mexicans and so forth in American cities. But the increase is very, very to our European heritage. I mean, this is the homeland of our people. This is where our people came from.
Well, and, David, I want to say thank you very much for letting me speak to you. And Pastor Dan, thank you. And I'll turn it back to Pastor Dan, and someone else can get a talk in.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Richard.
Thanks for your great work, too, in Idaho.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. That is amazing. Great question by Richard, by the way, and he's with the International Conspiratological Association there in Idaho. As you were talking there, David, did you get a consensus of where the wake-up is about the onslaught of all these different things that are going against our European-American folks, both over there and over here? Do you get a sense of where the majority of people are over there versus here in the States? You know, how we compare?
Well, it's hard to say. First off, we can talk about the economy. The people here are much poorer than the United States. I mean, they underwent 7 years of Bolshevism, and Bolshevism stripped people's understanding of even how to run a business, personal property, so many things. I mean, Bolshevism was a disaster for these people economically, and it's amazing. You have very good people here who have good education, who have great understanding of Western art, literature, music, architecture. I'll just give an example. I went to the Urals a few months ago, and I met a teacher there, a middle-aged teacher, and she had a doctorate and in literature. A brilliant person, hardworking, attractive, and she was making approximately about $65 a month to live on, and if not for a small dock, you notice after many people have very small pieces of land, food stuff. If not for that, this kind of thing goes on all over the country. And so they're very poor, and they've had many years of Bolshevism, but the truth is they've had less of the Hollywood right. They've all seen Hollywood movies and all seen television, of course, but they've had much less of it than Americans. And their spirit is, I think, a lot stronger right now than the average American spirit. And they have more good basic instincts because of that fact, because they have not been as mediaized, I might say, as in America. Even their music is more white style music. It's less of the like the young people. There are some that go for the hip hop and the rap and so forth, but there's a much smaller percentage here in Russia that do that. People here are pretty strong. The women are very anti-feminist. They are feminine, not feminist. And that's a very big difference and a very good difference. The people also don't give a hang about the Holocaust. They haven't been deluged with the Holocaust propaganda every day of their lives as they have been in America. And of course, every Russian is aware of the many millions of Russians that died in that conflict. And so the Holocaust doesn't have a power over them that it does. And they all seem.
We have a caller, Christopher from Tennessee.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, Chris, welcome to the program.
Mr. Duke, I am a Nazi racist, 40-year-old white man. I have followed the teachings of Mr. George Lincoln Rockwell.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't had a chance to read your book, but my question is this. Have you heard of an author by the name of Benjamin H. Friedman who wrote a book that Jesus...
I'm familiar with the book, and I'm familiar with the individual. That he wrote a number of books on the Federal Reserve and other aspects of the problem.
Well, what I'm getting at is this. I have been fighting that subject myself. I am the author of that same thing. And I have received much criticism because that is my view. And what really strikes me is that 40 years ago, Mr. Friedman had the same vision of a plot that's happening 40 years ago to the day right now. And it's just shocking. Have you had any thought about that?
Well, I have. I've got a major chapter in my book called Race, Christianity, and Judaism. And it goes into the whole Christian issue and how that so many of the organized Christian churches now have
changed. Basically, sir, what I'm getting at is this.
In the 20th century.
Is that I believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be a loyal Klan member, and I'm also a Nazi, okay? And I'm just being directly as I can about this. And the fact that I read the Bible myself, okay, and I'm saying for pro-white Christian people, I am not a chosen knight, I guess would be the right term. And it just pisses me off, excuse me, but for the last 2,000 years that has been twisted, and I have yet to have good information.
Well, I really suggest you read my book. I think you're going to get a lot out of it. And you can call my office or anybody else listening that'd like to order my book, My Awakening. We'll offer it right now for this radio show, offer for $20 postpaid.
Okay.
Very good deal. Sell for $29.95.
Okay.
700 pages, hardback. And it goes into all these issues. Also, if you're on the internet, of course, you
yes,
can go to my website and read some of the sample
yes,
chapters.
In fact, yeah, the other
thing, chapter on Christianity on the website.
Yes, sir.
You can assign it for you and so forth, and I think you'll get a lot of good material in there about that issue.
Yes, sir. The other thing that's really troubling here in the United States is that the American taxpayer, there are hundreds of thousands of people out of work, and we have illegal aliens crossing our border that gets medical treatment immediately, and our senior citizens are unable to get medical treatment, and that just, I'm ashamed of that.
No, I agree with you. I think that's a terrible situation.
Thank you, sir.
You know, but ultimately, the ultimate problem is not so much how much money we make. I mean, even like the Russian people are poor, but their racial stock is intact. I mean, I'm in Moscow, you're in one of the whitest cities in the world. Sometimes you can go on the subway, tens of thousands of people, and not see one Negro. That's just the way it is here. And that's amazing. If we lose our race, we lose all.
Yes, sir.
The economy is one thing, but the big problem is when there's Mexicans come in and the non-white immigrants come on, eventually our race will be inundated, will become outnumbered, outvoted, and outgunned, and eventually we'll lose everything that our forefathers fought for.
Yes, sir. And I thank you for your time.
Okay.
Thank you.
David, let me real quick give out the phone number for ordering the book and repeat the offer that David just made. You need to take advantage of this. $20 post-paid for his approximately 700 page book, My Awakening. Call this number. Now get those pens and pencils now. 985-626-7714. And again, that's
985-604.
It's changed, David.
Oh, it is?
Yes, the area code has been changed. 504 will still work, but the new area, you didn't know that, huh?
Right.
So it's either 504 will still work for a while, but the new area code number is 985-626-7714, or go to the website, davidduke.net. And again, $20 postpaid for the book. And real quick, David, I want to make a quick announcement.
DavidDuke.com. Where do you get there, DavidDuke.net?
Or .net, either one.
Okay.
But I want the folks to understand that Heritage, in order to have this interview take place, had to make the phone call direct instead of going through some of the cost-saving methods that are available in order to make this happen. And so this is going to be a very large phone bill. And in behalf of Heritage, I'm asking folks that can do so, please write to Heritage and send just maybe a few bucks, $5, whatever. Everybody chip in and help pay for this phone bill. And write to Heritage at Post Office Box 5583, Evansville, Indiana, 47716. And everybody chip in and help out. This is a team effort. Okay, now, this is fascinating material, David, because obviously we in America are ignorant, absolutely abysmally ignorant of what's going on outside of our country, and I find it amazing that a country that's been decimated by Jewish communism such as Russia, and yet they have a better grasp of what's really going on in the world than our so-called over-educated Americans. Is that how you see it?
That's true, and I'm amazed by it myself. When somebody comes over here and you see how it is here and how the people are, you'll be amazed. I mean, the average person, the average girl is a little bit more moral than the average girl. You know, the average person is more educated in a more real Western way. You have to talk to the average high school student. Well, what's your favorite music? Or what's your favorite composer? And they'll talk about Tchaikovsky, or they'll talk about Mozart. They know who the great writers are. They know who the great painters are. They spend a lot of time in museums. They have tremendous numbers of concerts and ensembles, for instance, here in Moscow, all over Russia, quite frequently. That's one of the ways that they find entertainment. It's just real to find a student, say a college student, who's gone through 5 or 6 years of musical education, who's gone through, at the same time, language education, historical education. And so, yes, some of them, certainly they were in the Soviet regime, they were propagandized in many ways, obviously. But we are too. In the United States, we've been propagandized. And as they've been controlled, we've been controlled. In my life, one of the things that I realized, I was always, in a sense, very anti-Russian because of my sentiments about the Second World War and my sentiments about communism and what happened to so many people. But it wasn't the Russians who were at fault. They were victims of the Bolsheviks, just like Americans in many ways have been victims of the Jewish media control today as we're starting to lose our rights in the United States.
Mr. Duke?
And as a young man, I had a prejudice against the Russian people. But actually, starting from the time when I was in Laos, when I actually met a Russian individual who shared the same opinions that I had, even at that time, 1971, I began to flip an opinion about the Russian people.
Gentlemen, just to ask one question. Mr. Duke, do you intend to come home eventually?
Well, of course. I've been home many times. I've traveled back and forth. I was just in the States a few months ago. I should be back in a month or two. And I've got a lot to do. I've got the main books I think are going to have a tremendous impact. My Awakening is still being felt. The impact is still being felt all over the world. Every day we get many, many emails, many, many letters. I run into people every day who tell me this book has changed their life, that this book has made such a tremendous impact on them. They've never seen a thousand footnotes, all the evidence, all the basic evidence of race and the Jewish question is right there, and also the spirit about how what we can do to solve this problem. And I think that these books that I'm working on, the new book and in the follow-up book, which is called Pull Up My People, which is about inspiring our people, I think that these books can do more to bring about a change world than almost anything else. And as I get back involved in politics and activities back in the United States, and with the knowledge that I've learned over here and the associates and what's happened over here, I think that I'll be that much more effective. I feel like Johnny Appleseed. I've been spreading the truth of our heritage and planting the seeds all over the world. We have a worldwide revolution for the European American people, and I'm really proud of the fact that I'm going to be a part of that, and I think I will be a part of that.
Well, bless your heart, David. We're certainly pulling for you and praying for you every single day. Hey, take a few minutes and tell the folks about the name change for your European Rights organization here in the United States. I know you went through a name change here recently, so how about telling the folks what the new name is and how they can get a hold of some of the American Rights organization?
Yeah, we have a slight change in our name. We now have the European, which is Euro for short, which is a very powerful name. We use the cross through on the name, which is a very nice logo. And the name just says exactly what we are, a European American Unity and Rights Organization. It's about bringing together the unity of the state and in Europe to start to defend our rights, our heritage, our freedoms, and our very genotype. Because the truth is that if this immigration continues, and the intermarriage continues, and says that we will be annihilated, extinction, unless we begin not only in America but across the world. And in America, that's the point of European Americans as a group. If we don't, we will not survive. The Mexicans certainly do it. They have La Raza Unida. The Blacks have the NAACP. The Jews have more organization than anybody else per capita in the world. You go to any city and you can look up all the Jewish groups. Every organization, every group, every minority has advocacy groups. We need a white civil rights, a white heritage group in the United States and also around the world, and this organization is filling that bill.
Excellent. So European American Unity and Rights Organization. Do you have a phone number or website specifically for this group?
Yes. You can get the website at davidduke.com, and then you can click on the Euro website. It's also at whitesilverrights.com. And again, you can call the number in Louisiana, which is 504-626-7714. Say 504 is good for a while.
Right. So whitesilverrights.com as well as the davidduke.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, excellent. What's it cost, folks?
Very nominal, $25. And then, of course, if you get involved in a local organization and the local organization gets whatever dues that are comfortable for the people in that group.
Okay. Now, are you going like a speaking tour across the United States?
Well, I've done many thousands of radio and television programs in the United States, and I'll be doing many more. And I should be back in a month or two. I've got to clean up and finish up this rest of my work. And then I'll certainly commence doing that. I know next year my schedule is going to be very, very, very full.
We have Joe from Oregon.
Okay, we have Joe.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, Joe, go ahead. We
hear
you loud and clear.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, Dave, this is your friend that sent you the wheatgrass.
Oh, great. How are you?
Great. I'm still hanging in there. Your book really did make a difference in my life. I knew something was wrong, but you collated a lot of facts for those of us that are working and didn't have computers. I even got a computer because of you. By the way, 5 years ago, there were only 8% computers in American homes. Now there's almost 50%. Think about that. No wonder they want to shut down the Internet and shut down shortwave. And the other thing is, that in small Oregon coastal communities, just very small communities, there can only be 3 or 4 Jews, yet they're going into public high school teaching the Holocaust as if they are it, and that they are the victims. In all white communities, there can only be 4 or 5 of them, and here they are in a public high school teaching this crap.
Mm-hmm. Well, they should teach about the biggest Holocaust of history, which is the Holocaust in the Soviet Union.
Yes.
Of many tens of millions of white Christians.
And it was because of you and your book that I went out and bought 2 used copies of Alexander Solzhenitsyn's Gulag Archipelago, and I can even spell his name now. But by the way, there is a lot more information now besides Alexander Solzhenitsyn's book for people to think those numbers were exaggerated. And the Russian communists killed 13 million people after the war, and what they did to Europe, the sacking of Europe, the very fact that we fought against our brothers in Germany. When we destroyed Germany, we destroyed ourselves. I'll let you go. Thank you for the good work. And when you come back, you should come back just before the congressional elections and stir up holy hell. Okay, bye.
Well, I'm used to stirring up a lot.
Well, thank you, Joe, from Oregon. And, we certainly hope you do keep up the stirring of the pot there, David. We need that. And that was one of the questions I was going to ask while Joe was still on, but he got off. Why do we put up with this stuff, David? Why do we have a death wish as a people? Is that what it is? I mean, why do we...
I do think that we're intelligent beings and we can be programmed, and we've been programmed in the wrong way. We have people who have control over our media who had a death wish for us for many centuries, and a hatred, a burning hatred of us. People like Steven Spielberg, Spielberg is a perfect example. I mean, what is the purpose of the movie Schindler's List? It's not just to stir hatred in Jewish people against Gentiles, against Germans and Europeans. At the same time, stir hatred in Jews against us. You see, and there was it's amazing that it's seeping and it's like pouring upon us all over the Western world. It's so many magazines, so many books, so many TV programs, so many movies. I'm just amazed by it all. In fact, I was watching CNN the other day, and they're talking about the so-called racism conference in Africa, the equation of Zionism with racism, which of course, as I said, it's really racial supremacism, not even simply, quote, racism. And none of these reporters actually question whether maybe the resolution could be true. Of course it's not true, but they didn't give any really good reasons. They didn't even discuss it. And it's just amazing to me, that the propaganda that goes on and on. I saw another report by this black reporter about all the black victims of white hate crimes in South Africa. This is the biggest joke in the world that they talked about, I think. And they don't talk about the hundreds, in fact, thousands of white victims that are going on in South Africa right now who are being raped and murdered, assaulted, robbed, killed by blacks with a burning hatred against whites.
Charles, I have a question for you. Charles Lewis.
Charles, welcome to the program.
Hi, David.
Hello.
I had a question. I didn't get to hear everything. It was cutting in and out on me here. Have you been going into Eastern Europe, you say?
Yes, I have.
How have you been received in Romania?
Very well.